This morning's scripture comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, and this is in the fourth chapter, the calling of the disciples beside the sea. And it reads there, "As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're starting a series this week, and I wasn't intending for this to really build upon the previous 2 weeks, my first 2 weeks here at Christ, but it naturally kind of does, with the call of the disciples, build well upon the themes of those prior 2 weeks. And as I have teased that Sally has tried to initiate me by fire, I have well thrown myself into that fire, embracing my identity as a superhero this past week in Vacation Bible School. And then as Sally queried, as I said, we're going to spend the series is looking at all those times where Jesus is beside the water or on the water, around the water, since this is summertime and many of us capitalize on this as a time to be beside pools and lakes and other things. Sally said, "Now, are you going to be upset if I have water coming down the steps in the sanctuary?" And not understanding Sally much, I said, "No." Not sure what I was getting myself into. And she said, "You may have to walk on water." And I repeated, "Well, there's only one person that's done that successfully so far." But this will be our scene to remind us that we are in this series where Jesus is beside, on, around water, teaching. And we come before the Lord that we might also learn through these events what this scripture can mean to us this day. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh and may it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. The fishing pole sat unused in the corner of the dorm room. For some reason, I had decided to take it to college with me. It was not something I did a lot, but something I did enough that when my dad told me about some incredible trout fishing that lied within central Pennsylvania, I thought I might just want during college the quiet escape when I was feeling overwhelmed to recenter myself. In the 4 years of college, though I toted that fishing pole back and forth through all 4 years, the line only touched the water once. But as I sat studying that day, my eyes fell upon the fishing pole in the corner, and I found another purpose. With an incredible epiphany, I found myself called toward a different perspective regarding angling. I lived on the third floor of one of the two freshman dormitories. My window, which faced west on the outside and middle of the building, had two matching windows directly beneath it and many to the sides. On the second floor, the orientation was opposite of the third floor, which I lived on, and so the west side of the building was occupied by women instead of men. And the first floor, with the large co-ed lounge in the middle, was comprised totally of women. I looked for bait around the room. Ramen noodle soup, other non-perishable essentials to dorm life. But I knew that the cafeteria had an endless bounty of bait. And so following dinner one day with these lures, with a transformed perspective on how I could use this neglected angling implement, I opened my window, baited the line with a donut, and cast the line down to the floors below. I'm not making this up, I promise. This is simply an application as a student of religion of this education with Christ having said, "I will make you fish for people." Most of the time, there was little that would nibble upon the bait presented. But occasionally an arm would reach out, and I would play the bait to lure the catch. And I wish I could attest that this somehow resulted in a pleasant exchange between third floor and second floor and first floor, or perhaps a date, or even with the ultimate result that this is how I ensnared my wife. My transformed perspective on the use of the fishing pole, it proved universally, however, unsuccessful, and instead solicited harsh remarks and hand gestures inappropriate for church. It did, however, then prove educational. This was not the change direction and perspective implied in the gospel, but does speak well to the idea that through Christ, we are called from one way of seeing of being to another way of seeing and being. And this is what it means to be followers of Christ, to be resurrection people. It's a declaration that as we gather on this day, we do so celebrating once again the resurrection. That every Sunday is Easter Sunday, and each week through God's grace offers us an opportunity to refocus, to change direction, and to reconnect. We, through each and every week, live through all the challenges that we encounter during Holy Week: abandonment, gloom, hope entombed. But we arrive this day to the bright reality of a stone rolled away, that Christ is risen. And because of that, we can be a people of light, a people of summer's brightness and the Spirit's warmth. This is what we should proclaim and display as faithful disciples. But the truth is, darkness too easily overwhelms the light. We're faithful, but we just can't quite comprehend leaving it all behind. We're faithful, we just can't see how or what or who in a different way. In fact, it is often difficult for us to even imagine a calling from God, a foreign idea, elusive, unbelievable. It derives from the fact that we expect a call to come in such a concrete form. With cell phone technology and texting, why couldn't God just send us a text message? Here I am, I've called you by name. But the invitation to be in communion with God comes not by the method or time of our choosing, but by an act of grace. We can't make it happen or cause it to happen, but when it happens, we know it. And some do have a concrete experience, while others have simply a feeling of warmth, of assurance, of acceptance, or understanding of light. And it doesn't take stained glass, but the call comes in the midst, usually, of everyday life. The call comes for many, or as Garfield the cat always dreaded, on the Mondays of existence. Look at the scriptures. The call of Simon and Andrew and James and John. They were in the midst of their labor. They were in the midst of hard labor in the doldrums of Mondays. And into this reality of what they did every day, their livelihood, the call came, the summons by an act of grace occurs. Who would have ever expected it among the tackle and the stink of fish? But this tells us, what this tells us is that life with God does not occur or exist in a void, boxed up on a particular day or in a particular space, but is always and everywhere where we live and where we work and where we are. So while we come together and we thank God for resurrection dawn, for followers of Christ, that is every day and everywhere in everyone. You see, once the grace has been experienced, everything changes. Our perspective is transformed. That doesn't mean that we become someone we weren't before, that our personalities somehow are altered. What it means is that our motivations, our drive, what is important, what directs our lives, our perspective changes. Light shines through us into every aspect of life. Simon and Andrew, James and John, they remain those people. They have been and always will be fishermen from the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure that when they were asked their background, they always referred back to the fact that they were fishermen from the Sea of Galilee, but now they become fishers of people. That career which they know so well is part of how they hear the call, part of the mission that Jesus calls them to and imparts to them after his resurrection. Go become fishers of people. Light shines into every aspect of their lives, and they, who they are, is not abandoned but transformed. They now cast the line of grace into the lives of other people. Jesus calls first and foremost a bunch of hardened fishermen. And over and again, the story is similar. It is not what we might deem the best and the brightest, but the ordinary and the willing. Those who respond as the line of grace is cast in their lives and willing to do the same into the lives of others. But perhaps it makes sense that the first disciples are fishermen. A risky career in harsh conditions. The sea at that time was seen itself as containing evil and extremely physically taxing. Jesus perhaps had a sense of what lied ahead, and so he chose to call those to be with him who were used to risk and danger and hard work. They were really working folks with calloused hands and humbled egos. They were exactly the right people to spread the light, to cast the net of God's light to all people, because this would be risky work to preach this message. It would be difficult work to travel all those miles and bear the burden. The conditions would not always be calm waters and sunny days, but plenty of choppy seas and gloomy mornings. These sturdy guys rose to the challenge, and it says they left everything and followed. We don't know what drew them to Christ, but something about that light drew them. Maybe they had heard him preach before and it was as memorable and captivating as a catchy tune. Whatever it was enough. Let us ask ourselves the same question. What is it that draws us to Christ this day? Some light in the midst of our darkest time? Some joy amidst the gloom? That familiar tune of salvation we just can't shake from our minds. However, wherever, we are all called in different and special and significant ways. Some of us are called in social ways, some of us in physical ways, some in emotional ways. Some of us are called to cast the line of grace where we work. Some of us to cast this line into different work. Some of us are called to cast this line in very public and obvious ways, others to become part of the general glow of God's grace that shines behind it all. Jesus calls us, cast that line of grace to us all in a unique way and to a unique ministry. From fishermen to tax collectors, prostitutes to zealots, the light shined upon all of them, and that light then shined through their lives to others. From ministers to managers, machinists to mechanics, mothers to medical doctors, the light shines in our lives for the needs of our world. The call comes. The question facing us is, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to let the light shine through our lives? Are we willing to listen where God is calling us and leading us? Are we willing to take the risk to hear? Are we willing to have our perspectives transformed? God wants to be part of our lives. Shows us light and love in Jesus Christ. In grace, we are called to know God's love. Follow me, Jesus said, casting the line of grace into our lives and transforming our perspective. In turn, we are called to be fishers of people, he says. Cast the line of grace into your community, in your place of work, in your living. Show your response to grace by putting your faith central in your life. Be the workers by going, by casting where God leads, where the world needs. Cast the line of invitation from the third floor window into the darkness of the lives of others. To make connections, to offer opportunities for faith, love, and service. To hear the call, to have our perspectives transformed. Called from the midst of our lives to life with God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you continue to call us daily by the whisper of your grace, to hear our names, to hear our true identity and the possibilities of our lives when we answer in faith. We know that this is the very fabric of our faith, changes in perspective. And it's not easy or comfortable. It can lead us to flee from the challenge, to seek status quo, to resist our hearing, to laugh out loud at the possibilities that you proclaim to us. We may run into the wilderness of daily living, but you pursue us with your endless and amazing grace. And we find once we wrestle with you there, we come up sometimes with a limp, but forever with our eyes uplifted to your glory and with a sense of purpose and belonging. We ask that you would help us to see how our lives can share with others this possibility. That through the simple and the extravagant, a smile and a hug, or a ministry to feed or shelter those who have none, others too might hear you whisper their name, that they are known and valued and loved. This day, this step, this path you have set before us. So then let us walk to our best with you into glory. We give ourselves into the hand of your continuing creativity, our past with its joys and triumphs, its failures and regrets, our present with its struggles and accomplishments, its hopes and setbacks, and our future with its fears and freedom, its pain and possibility, trusting the spirit that breathes life, trusting the love that will not let us go, trusting the promise of the Word made flesh, Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I invite you to sing along with me as we bring our time of praise to a close this morning, perhaps using this as a time to recommit your life to Christ, to hear that call once again to follow, that we might take up that perhaps unused fishing pole, however we might interpret that, that lies within the corner of our lives, and repurpose it and cast the line of God's grace into the lives of others.